Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's perhaps the most famous verse of Christian scripture. We read it at least once every year, sometimes this year at least more than once in worship, and our own beloved Luther calls it the Bible in miniature, the gospel in sum. We see it on posters, on billboards, on bumper stickers, and casually graffitied in various places. I personally remember growing up going to Lutheran school, and that this verse on posters showed up around this time of year, getting ready for Easter. And indeed, two out of our three liturgical years find this particular verse during Lent, in the lead up to Easter. It's almost as if we can't get through the church year without hearing that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And don't get me wrong, it is a good one. Luther was right. The very heart of what we believe is right there. Everything that we hang our faith on is rooted in this verse. So I don't know about you, but I find it odd that we hang our faith on a verse that's not the story of Jesus' birth. It's not a miracle, it's not a healing, it's not the story of Jesus' suffering, death, or resurrection, and it's not even a public teaching. Jesus is speaking in the middle of the night to Nicodemus alone. This central verse for us is told in the middle of the night to one disciple who isn't even one of the famous 12. But here's the thing. Regardless of when it's shared, regardless of who Jesus was teaching, or who is holding up the sign, or what the bumper looks like that the bumper sticker is attached to, it's an important message. God loves you. God loves you. It's a simple sentence, three words, and none of them are particularly big. We don't need a dictionary, and we don't need to parse or a diagram or try to figure out the synonyms. God loves you. It's such an important message that I was taught in seminary that every sermon should be at its heart these simple words. And I hope, you can tell me later, that at least at the heart of my sermon there are those three words. You see, while we may change the shell of the story, while the details might depend on whose gospel we're reading or what time of year it is, the very heart of any story we read of God in Christ comes down to that one sentence and those three simple words. God loves you. The rest is window dressing. Everything else in our lives, the colors, the buildings, the words on the page, the songs we sing, the people sitting next to us, the community we gather with, the taste of the bread, the color of the wine, all of it is nothing more than making it clear to us that God loves us. God loves you. Don't get me wrong. All of these things are important. We need them. And we need them to be many and various, because just one way of telling us is not enough. We need to be reminded every moment, every day, over and over again, that God loves us. We need it to be hammered home for us, because it really and truly is at the very heart of God's abiding relationship with creation. It is in every word of the Bible, in every note of every psalm or hymn ever written, in every nibble and sip of communion, every time it has been shared. God loves you. It seems simple, and it seems like we wouldn't really need to meet week in and week out for millennia to share the same sentence, but we do. We do because it's all too easy to forget. It's all too easy to make excuses for why God couldn't possibly love me. And unfortunately, it's all too easy to add caveats and addenda to the message and explain why God loves me but not you. Okay, maybe God loves you, but God definitely doesn't love them. All we have to do is look around us at our society and see that we are part of telling a narrative that is the very antithesis of this, our core belief. God loves you. You see, that's the thing. If we cling to the idea that God loves you, then God loves all y'all. And not one person more or less than any other. If we center ourselves on the pervasive love of God, then God's love is for you as much as it is for me. If we're going to sum up the entirety of the Bible in one verse, then it needs to be the most expansive and inclusive one verse that has ever been written. Which is why I find it so fascinating that it's a teaching that Jesus gives to Nicodemus in the middle of the night. But then, even a leader of the Jewish council needed a reminder. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, but is a little hesitant. He doesn't come during Jesus' office hours. He doesn't raise his hand during one of Jesus' sermons. Rather, completely unsure of himself and a little worried about what others might think, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks where he stands in relationship with God. And Jesus, like Luther, like my own professor, would be proud of, Jesus tells Nicodemus just where he stands. He stands in God's love. And what's more, he speaks to Nicodemus using a story that Nicodemus would have known. Look, Nick, I know you're a teacher among your people, so you know the story of Moses and the snake. You know how God saved the people even when they were griping in the wilderness? You know how from the very first story of creation to the close of Torah, everything is about God's abiding love? You know that story, Nick. Well, it's for you. It's about you. It is meant for you. And still today, we are gathered together week in and week out for precisely the same reason. Sometimes we come like Nicodemus, a little unsure of ourselves, a little worried what other people might think about us coming together with God's people. Sometimes we're a little more proud and sure, but regardless, proud or unsure, the message is the same. God loves you, whoever you are. It's easy for us to get hung up on the end of the verse, on the ifs or the whys or the whos. It's easy for us to turn this message of all-encompassing love into one that we can control. And we start to make the trappings of the story, the place, the time of year, the people, the colors, the stories, into what matters. And we begin to tell it with an edge. But that's not why we retell it and share it time and again. We share it and retell it to remind ourselves of God's unconditional and unfailing love for each of us, for all of creation. Or if you truly remember the verse, God's abiding love for the world. God's love is so deep and overflowing that the whole world, that God in Christ comes as one of us to show us how to share that love in its fullest. God in Christ loves us into abundant, foolish, extravagant, creative, expansive, ever new yet age-old love. And that's the story we share again today, as many times as we have ever shared it. And that's the story we are racing toward in just a few weeks, seeing and sharing and telling again just what God's life-giving, world-turning, vision-changing love is all about. And no matter how you need to hear it, no matter what helps it to be made more real for you, whether it's the colors or the time of the year or the flavor of the bread, it's nonetheless true. God loves you. For the love of God that is ours, and the myriad and multiple and various and variant ways that we are reminded of it, thanks be to God. Amen.